Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, July 22nd, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that... I don't know if I'm over these let's get cracking jokes. Like, are we done with them or are we not?
I think we still have a couple more weeks of the cracking jokes.
All right. Well, we'll get cracking here. To keep track of our podcast, news about the Flyers, the Phantoms, all that good stuff, follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Flyers. If you don't have Twitter, that's fine. You can email us at lockdownflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And today we are shockingly going to talk about the expansion draft. Who did Seattle take from the Flyers? What else happened around the league? And then just kind of how did we feel about how the day went overall? Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So hit that subscribe button and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Danielle. So Carson Twarinski, huh?
Yeah, definitely a surprise pick, but, you know, good for him. I don't know if he'll crack the lineup, but if he does, I hope he does well there.
Wait, are you saying you're not sure if he'll be cracking the lineup?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. But if he does, like I said, I think Carson is such a great kid. And it just didn't seem like he was ever going to get a spot on the Flyers. So if he can find a way to make it in Seattle, then I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, same. I remember... a lot of the footage they had from the behind the glass feature that they did on the Flyers a couple years ago. And he was just so sweet, and his family was as well. So wish nothing but the best for him moving forward. Looking to the pick itself, it seems like Seattle went with the cheap option versus the big contract for the Flyers, but it seems like they did that overall, so it kind of made sense in the context of their overall strategy.
You mean they didn't deliberately not pick a big contract from the Flyers roster to rile up Flyers Twitter and show that no one on the team is tradable and they all are negative assets? Oh, I was too on Twitter yesterday. I'll say that.
Same. Yeah, it was quite a day on hockey Twitter for sure. But, you know, at least from the perspective of the forwards, Seattle did not spend a lot of money overall, you know, nor did they, you know, pick a lot of premier level forwards. And we'll talk about that later. So that's why it seemed like the Twarinski pick kind of fit in with whatever strategy they're going with here. Man, I felt so bad for Carson, though, because there was only a couple of guys overall who didn't have highlight reels because they just don't have enough NHL games. And I think John Quenneville was one or the other. There may have been one or two other, but will we miss him in the depth of the Flyers, or do you think we'll be okay moving forward in terms of that kind of two-way contract forward that can fill in when necessary?
Yeah, I just don't see the Flyers missing him, especially with the emergence of like Wade Allison and Tanner Lozinski. Carson Twarinski really kind of got pushed to the background. So I don't see the Flyers really missing him at all. And between him and Connor Bunneman, I mean, I think most fans would have picked Connor Bunneman to make the roster.
Yeah, it seems like if, you know, you're lumping those two guys together, and we do that all the time, that if I'm Seattle, I take Bunneman over Twarinski. But now that Bunneman is not Seattle Kraken. I think it ensures that they sign him to a two-way deal moving forward. And, you know, remember, we have Max Willman now on a two-way contract. So he's another guy that may get the opportunity to get called up if there's a need due to injury. So, you know, I think the Flyers are in good shape in terms of having that guy on the team that fills that particular role that plays primarily for the Phantoms, but has the skill for a call-up in an emergency.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Now what? We still have both Jake Voracek and James Van Riemsdyk and their larger contracts on the team. So it gives the Flyers, you know, not very much room in the cap as it currently stands to fill the remaining needs, which I think as of now are, now we need a second pairing defenseman. We still need that backup goaltender and then potentially a scoring winger or a 3C, something like that. And then we still have contracts for Sanheim, Bunneman, maybe Sam Moran, I guess, is that seventh defenseman. So, you know, what do you think the next step is for Chuck Fletcher?
I definitely feel like Fletcher is going to try to move Voracek. I don't think just because he couldn't get a deal done with Seattle that, you know, either Voracek, JVR, or Gostisbehere are set in stone for the roster next season. So I do see some more moves being made, but I think like out of the list of needs, I wouldn't be surprised if a backup goaltender comes first before we get that second pair defenseman. I don't know why. I just feel like that might be one of the easier signings that could be like cap friendly. So I could see that, or, you know, other contracts like a Bunneman or a Sanheim deal might be the next thing we see out of the front office. But yeah, I don't think that Chuck is done at all.
You might be right there when it comes to, you know, what's next on the agenda. I think getting that backup goaltender is very, very important going into next season. And I think that if the Flyers concentrate on that, they'll have more of like the pick of the litter, so to speak, that once free agency hits, it's going to be just a circus out there with all the signings. But if the Flyers are focusing on that first, then maybe they can, you know, get the best goaltender or the one that they have been targeting the most if they make it a bigger priority. So the other interesting twist is that, you know, talking about that second pairing defenseman role, we had talked on the show about potentially looking at Adam Larson, who is no longer available because he is now a Seattle Kraken signed to a free agent contract.
Yeah, that was I was surprised. I mean, Seattle, and we'll talk about this, went defense heavy. So I was surprised they got Larson in addition to all the players they got or the other defensemen they got. But I mean, it seemed like he kind of wanted out of Edmonton, maybe.
Yeah, that's certainly not a rare occurrence in the last decade or so for Edmonton. But yeah, we'll talk about the expansion draft overall and, you know, picks from some other teams. But, you know, now that we're in the height of the off season, there's still time to decide what sports bets you're thinking of making all summer long. The perfect place to go for that is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
And we mean all sports, whether that's baseball, golf, MMA, UFC, there are so many other sports in full swing. And before the next pitch or tee off, head over to BetOnline to check out all the latest sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You can also get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Danielle, so you hinted at it in the first segment that Seattle went really big on getting a solid decor up front, but not so much on forwards. I think Jordan Eberle was maybe the most prominent forward in the picks. What was your take on that strategy?
I could kind of see, I mean, I don't know, it was very surprising that they passed on some other forwards. And but I think that, I mean, so far, I think I like their defense core. I like the players that they got. They got a mix of veterans and younger guys. So I could see that being a really strong area for them in the future, and as well as, like, you know, this upcoming season. As for the Eberle pick, that he is the most notable forward. I'm thankful that he is out of the division, first and foremost. So glad not to have to see Jordan Eberle four or five times a season. But I also like the Yanni Gourde pickup. I mean, as soon as he was exposed, you kind of knew Seattle was going for him. But I think that he's good. I mean, their forwards aren't completely flashy, and they have a ton of money to, you know, continue to make some moves. But I do think that some of the players that they did get are good depth roles. They just kind of need to find that, like, you know, star quality forward to help, you know, play even with all the rest of the teams. But like Jared McCann, I really like him. I think that he came off of a really good season this past season, and I think, you know, I mean, he was a former first round pick, so I think that now he's kind of gotten into the groove and the style of play that is best for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's a really good top six forward for them. So there's a lot of guys that, yeah, they passed on bigger name players, but some of the lower tier guys are just, I feel like, are going to surprise us more than we think.
I think so, too. I think there's a couple of really fun picks kind of buried in there. Of course, you know, Tyler Pitlick, I still have a special place in my heart for him, and was kind of bummed the Flyers didn't re-sign him when they had a chance. And I think he'll be a really good depth forward for them as well. And there's Brandon Tanev to do your hitting for you, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, the contract that he's on is a very scary contract. But overall, I mean, I think that he is a really useful player, and he's an energy player, and that really does pump up his teammates. And like you said, he's always good for a big hit or two. So I mean, is he going to score, like, you know, 15 goals a season? Probably not, but he's going to score some meaningful goals for the team. So, that contract scares me, but I still think that he's a pretty good pick. I liked him in Winnipeg. I liked him in Pittsburgh. So I just didn't like the contract.
Yeah. Now, one thing that was interesting is how the day played out. So the list was due to the NHL at 10 a.m. And then we had this huge gap of time before 8 p.m. And this is Eastern time, all these times. I think that kind of hurt the presentation of this expansion draft. And Frank Saravelli, man, he seemed to have all the scoops out there. And so there were leaks throughout the day. And we knew, I think, all but one or two of the picks by the time the broadcast started. Like, how did you feel about that and, like, the prospects for it being, like, a really good kickoff event?
It was a little disheartening just because, I mean, I planned to watch it. So I kind of didn't want to hear about any of the picks until the show happened. But for people that didn't want to watch, I mean, I could tell that they liked that. I can see both sides of where that's annoying and you really don't want to see that, or, you know, you kind of just want to get it over with and already know for sure. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate it, but then again, I wasn't, like, counting down the minutes for this draft.
Because of the selections they made at forward, it seemed pretty clear that there's going to be some additional deals or free agent signings in the works for the Seattle Kraken. And we just did not find out about any side deals as of recording, which was immediately after the broadcast for the expansion draft. And it just seems a little odd given these picks.
it is a little weird. I do expect Seattle to be making deals left and right. And I think a lot of the media who were breaking news throughout the day tweeted that out, saying that there's going to be deals made. But it was a little surprising. So I'm even more enticed to see what deals are made, just to see how this team like fits together. Because the way it is now, I definitely don't feel like they're done. And yeah, I mean, they have a ton of cap space. Like, I've seen people going around saying that they're thinking about Jack Eichel, which I think is a great addition if they can get him. So I think that's more exciting than the draft.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the excitement, you know, there were two, I think, major rumors about this expansion draft going around ahead of time. And the first of which related to Carey Price, who was not taken from Montreal, and Vladimir Tarasenko, who was not taken from St. Louis. So a little bit anticlimactic there on both those accounts.
Yeah, I could definitely see how that is. Thinking back on it, I think the Carey Price would have been cool namesake-wise, but I think I prefer their goaltending, how it panned out.
Yeah, I do too, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. I think given how these picks were going, and there weren't a ton of, like, even I would say elite or mid to elite level players taken, as you know, on the forward side of things, there was a few surprises to me. The first was the Carolina pick, where they chose Morgan Geeky instead of Jake Bean.
Yeah, that was a surprise. I mean, I think everyone kind of assumed they were going to take Jake Bean. I don't know much about Morgan Geeky, so I will have to wait and see if that's a good pick down the line. But that was surprising.
Yeah, my Carolina friends say that, you know, he was the guy that they expected to take a big step forward this next season for Carolina. So I guess he'll be doing it in Seattle instead, with a little extra incentive. And then a Columbus... they did not take Max Domi, who I think was the presumptive pick. They took Gavin Bayreuther.
I don't know much about Gavin, but I wouldn't have picked Max Domi. So I think they chose right.
Well, yes, from a personal choice perspective, absolutely. I just think conventional wisdom said that they were going to take Domi. But yeah, an interesting twist to it is that it was a straight up pick. There was no side deal. Were there any other surprises for you?
No, I think those are probably the two or the three biggest ones. It was hard to be surprised when you knew like half the picks ahead of time. So if something wouldn't have panned out, like if, you know, we all expected Carson Turinski to get picked and like JVR would have, that would have been a surprise. But
you brought up the goaltending trio. I think they actually did a really great job with this as a starter pack of goaltenders, with Chris Streeter, Vitek Vanacek, and Joey Decord. I think all of them are goalies with a lot of potential, and Decord being more of a, you know, prospect guy in development here. But Vitek Vanacek, you know, we've seen him a lot this past year playing for the Caps, and we saw him a lot when he was playing with Hershey against the Phantoms. And, you know, I think he could be a really good asset for Seattle.
I agree. I think this goaltending trio is much better like it is, instead of them, like, you know, taking one out for Carey Price, especially for the price and the upside that they can bring and their age. So I think that they did pretty well with goaltending. I'm excited to see how Chris Drieger does in Seattle, just because, you know, he was someone that we were kind of looking at, thinking, could he become a Flyer? So I'm really interested to see how that works out.
I am as well. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket instead.
Save tons of time and money by using rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, so we know we can trust them. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. And you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so we talked a little bit about their defensive picks, that it was a pretty strong core to start off with. And, you know, we touched on Adam Larson taking that deal. And, of course, their presumptive captain, Mark Giordano, as well, who was there in that pretty looking jersey. You know, adding Jamie Oleksiak, Vince Dunn as their pick from St. Louis, Carson Soucy and Hayden Fleury. I don't think that's a terrible place to start off.
No, not at all. I mean, there's a lot of defensemen on this list that I really like. Like, I really like Vince Dunn, Mark Giordano. It was so weird to see him not in a Flames jersey. Like,
I know.
When he was interviewed, you kind of just felt so bad because he was just so shell-shocked. And you just knew it was such an awkward situation. But Jamie Oleksiak, I think that he's a really good depth defenseman. I think that contract is a little bloated, but
yeah,
you know, the Flyers aren't paying it, so I don't mind. But I like him. He's grown definitely in these last two seasons. So I'm excited to see how he does. And like you said, Hayden Fleury, Adam Larson, I think on the broadcast they were saying Larson and Dunn together can make a really good pairing, and I agree with that. So their defense is probably the best part about the team.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned those contracts, and they signed Jamie Oleksiak to a 4-year deal at $4.6 million per year, which is, that is a haul for Oleksiak, way higher than I would have expected for him.
Yeah, I mean, get your money. I'm happy for Jamie, but I would not have paid that much at all. And yeah. I mean, clear Dallas didn't want to either.
Yeah, and Adam Larson, who is ostensibly higher up in their depth chart, is making $4 million per signing through 2025. So that's an interesting twist for them. All right, so there was a couple other interesting bits of news that came out over the course of the day amongst the leaks. And so before we get to talking about the broadcast, just want to touch on them. The Oilers are apparently re-signing Mike Smith for 2 years. 2 years for this old man for $2 million per. So that's, you know, here come the Oilers, I guess.
What is it about Mike Smith that the Oilers just absolutely love? I'll never really get it.
I don't know either. And then the other thing is that obviously they did not announce Gabriel Landeskog, so Seattle did not sign him as a UFA. So he's just going to go out on the open market or potentially re-sign with the Avs before free agency starts. So we'll see what happens on that front. Switching over to the broadcast. So there were quite a few interesting moments over the course of it. I thought it was as cheesy as you would have expected it, but I think that, you know, they did a pretty good job overall.
I don't know who was the older announcer, but he was attacking every team. And I was just like, geez, like, calm down. I mean, he was like, it was embarrassing. I mean, for the Flyers, he was like, yeah, like everybody in Philly is like begging for this team to get it together. But they were horrible last year. And like they had 3 goals against. I was like, you don't have to remind us. We know. You don't have to remind us right now. Oh my gosh. But I agree with you that overall the broadcast was cheesy, but it was what you expected. They had some pretty cool stuff and a lot of like really cool Seattle athletes that came out and support the team. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Other than identifying the Flyers as the Philadelphia hockey team, did not even like attempt to say Flyers, and, you know, calling Carolina the Panthers, which, you know, both the Hurricanes and the Panthers took advantage of on Twitter, and some mispronunciation of some of the player announcement names by a few of the guests. I would say the sound quality wasn't that great. They were having trouble with those microphones, and so couldn't hear everything that was being said. But you're right, there were some really great guests. Did you have a favorite?
No, I couldn't remember their names, but I thought it was endearingly sweet how the players were just like nervous about mispronouncing the players that they were introducing their names. And so the one guy that was like, yeah, I got easy names, like, thank goodness for that, because there was no way I was going to be able to pronounce the harder names, which I can totally feel for. So the fact that they did it, and even if they messed up, they still trudged along. I felt bad and could appreciate that.
Yeah, I was super happy to see Sue Bird there. I think that was my favorite, even though it was remote, because she's on the USA basketball team for Tokyo. So that was a good thing. And I think, you know, my other favorite moment was when they were talking to Hayden Fleury at the end about Seattle picking both him and his brother Kale, and how it was such a good family moment. Like, I almost teared up.
I mean, you do love a good brothers playing on the same team.
I do. It is like my favorite thing in hockey.
It was very sweet. It was very sweet, especially him talking about how, like, he thinks his mom was crying, but they were on the phone, so he couldn't see her. It's just, I'm excited to see how they do, or how, if Seattle does any content around them, because that would be really fun to watch.
Was there a favorite gimmick pick, like stunt pick, like the fish toss or the octopus or anything like that?
Nothing like that. I will say towards the end of the show, or the end of the draft, the lady that was in the tank that was like, we don't have any sharks in here, but we're getting a former shark. I really thought that was cool. That was probably my favorite one.
My favorite was when Chanel got to do a pick. I'm so happy that she was there and was able to highlight the work that she's doing for Seattle on their kind of diversity programs and access for the disabled. So I think that it was really special to see her there. So I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more.
So I think that is a good note to end the show on. Thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back tomorrow because we got to turn around and get ready for the entry draft. And of course, we'll have our Gritty thing of the week. And Gritty was pretty busy this past week, so lots to talk about there. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or by email to LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks again for listening and have a great day. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.